Greet you all in the precious name of Jesus this morning. You can turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We'd like to continue our study through the fruits of the Spirit. And I was blessed by the service, and I see God's leading in the service. And I just, through what Spencer shared, and Spencer, thank you for sharing that, and I think it does us good at times to open up and share what God is doing currently in our lives and some of the things that we wrestle with. I think it's a healthy thing to do that, and I know there's a number of people missing this morning, but I think it's through times like this when we hear from one another that we can pray for one another and encourage one another through these times. And Matt, thank you for the devotional as well. Very fitting. So, curious if anyone is keeping track where we're at on the fruits of the Spirit. I am planning to go through them in order. I don't have it mapped out like I'm going to take, each fruit of the Spirit specifically for a message. I may end up putting some together, but so far I've been keeping them one at a time. Anyone know or following and remember where we're at, which fruit of the Spirit we are ready for? Shout it out if you know. Long-suffering, yes. And depends what translation you use, you'll see the word patience instead of long-suffering. So you can turn to Galatians chapter 5 if you're not there already. And the Bible mentions long-suffering in the King James Version 17 times. So not as often as some of the other fruit of the Spirit, but 17 times. There's also the word patience is used quite often as well. And patience and long-suffering are very similar. I'll talk a little bit about some of the distinctions. So the word long-suffering in the Bible is made up of two Greek words meaning long and temper. Long temper. So literally, long-suffering means long-tempered. So this morning, do you consider yourself a long-tempered person or a short-tempered person? We probably have heard it said about someone, well, they have a very short temper. We don't want that said about us, right? But sometimes it's easier to be short-tempered than it is to be long-tempered. So someone who is long-suffering does not immediately retaliate or seek revenge. That long temper can also mean to have a long fuse or patiently forbear or patiently endure. To be long-suffering is to have self-restraint when one is stirred to anger. One who is long-suffering is also able to endure hardship and to do so with a spirit of perseverance and hope. So thinking about enduring or persevering, we can do that because of the hope that we have. I've heard it said as I was preparing for the message this week. There was a pastor that shared a story he was sharing a story of another pastor that was talking about patience to the congregation. After the service was over, there was a lady that came up to him, and she made a claim that she believed she's one of the most patient people around as long as she gets her way. Rather humorous. So thinking about that, it's easy to be patient or easy to be long-suffering when everything goes our way. Right? Well, then our patience isn't tested because it's going just like we like. When our patience is tested, or when our temper is tested, whether we're short-tempered or long-tempered, that's tested when things don't go the way we would like, when things are out of hand, where maybe the day is just not going well. That's when we're tested. So our ability to be long-suffering isn't tested when everything goes smoothly. We see many signs or many maybe evidences of short-tempered people in the world. And I realize by nature, some of us have to work harder at this than others. Some people just seem to be naturally more patient, naturally more long-tempered. But that doesn't exempt any of us that say we would feel we're pretty short-tempered. Well, we need to work at having patience. I like to think about, so this is the fruit of the Spirit. When we think about fruit on a tree, I would use an apple tree for example. That fruit starts to grow and it takes time until it's mature and ready to harvest. And I believe as we grow in our walk with Jesus, that God wants us to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. So even if we feel like we're short-tempered, it doesn't exempt us from striving to change that to be long-tempered or to be long-suffering or to have patience. We see a lot of evidence or a lot of maybe we see short-tempered very quickly, maybe on the road. And maybe we're pretty short-tempered on the road at times. When someone cuts us off or doesn't drive like we think they should be driving, people are pretty quick to put others in their place or to jip in front of them to get revenge. A long-tempered person is forgiving. When someone pulls out in front of a long-tempered person and makes them hit their brakes, a long-tempered person, I believe, will smile and wave and give them grace, show grace instead of laying on the horn and trying to get ahead and then jip them to get revenge. Someone who's long-suffering or patient does not get revenge. What about when we're mistreated? That's when we're put to the test as well. How are we going to respond? Are we going to retaliate? Or are we going to be patient and forbearing? Children, is it easy to be long-tempered when your siblings are doing something you don't want them to do? No, it's natural that we're short-tempered, that we get revenge. But God wants us to be long-tempered, to be long-suffering, or to be patient. So the title this morning is The Fruit of Long-Suffering. Or you could also put in the title, if you're taking notes, The Fruit of Patience. I'm going to use long-suffering and patience somewhat hand-in-hand this morning. I'll be mentioning both of them different times. Someone has said, thinking about patience and long-suffering, someone has said, patience is enduring difficult circumstances, while long-suffering is the specific attitude of enduring hardship involving other people. So very closely connected. I'll read that again. Patience is enduring difficult circumstances, while long-suffering is the specific attitude of enduring hardship involving other people. So I'd like to read verse 16 in Matthew chapter 5. Paul says, verse 16 in Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if we want to be producing the fruit of the Spirit, we need to be walking in the Spirit or living in the Spirit. The contrast is living in the flesh. Living in the flesh produces a short temper, short fuse. But we are to be long-tempered, and that happens when we walk in the Spirit. And then I'm just going to read verses 22 through 26 in Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. D.L. Moody has said, joy, this is a quote from D.L. Moody about the fruits of the Spirit. And this is what he says. Joy is love exalted. Peace is love in response. Long-suffering is love enduring. Gentleness is love in society. Goodness is love in action. Faith is love on the battlefield. Meekness is love in tough situations. And temperance is love in training. And that's a quote from D.L. Moody. So thinking about long-suffering is love enduring. Enduring conflict. Enduring hardship. I want to look at some of that this morning. And as we look at examples in Scripture of each of these fruits of the Spirit, I'm grateful we have examples there. And ultimately, God is the perfect example of these fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We can see these characters through God or through His Son Jesus, that they live them out perfectly. And we can look at how God is a patient or a long-suffering God. And that's the first point I want to look at is, number one, the patience of God, or you can also use the word long-suffering of God. The second point I want to look at is patience or long-suffering with others. So God is long-suffering towards us, and then he asks us to be long-suffering or patient with others. And then the third point I would like to look at is patience with God. I don't know what you think of or what comes to your mind when you think about patience with God or long-suffering with God. As I was preparing for this message, I was not intending it to go this direction, but as I was preparing it, I would like to believe it was just God's Spirit leading. And then as I heard Spencer share and what Matt already shared, then I looked at the Sunday school lesson, and I hope it complement or it goes with the Sunday school lesson and not takes away, but I see God's leading in this. Patience with God or patience in God's timing. I'll look at that in the third point. So I want us to pursue patience so that God's purposes can be accomplished in our lives. So patience is something that I believe we are to pursue. Patience most times does not just come naturally. If we walk in the Spirit, that's how we can put it on, or that's how we can be patient. But it is something that we need to pursue and strive for so that God's purposes can be accomplished. I believe if we are not patient, if we are short-tempered, we're going to hinder some of the purposes that God wants to accomplish in our lives. And I'll look at scriptures or examples in scripture regarding that. So the first point, patience of God. So God is the source of long-suffering. Again, it is part of God's character. There's quite a few verses we could turn to where we see God as very long-suffering. God is being patient towards us. Exodus 34, verse 6 says this, "And the Lord passed before him," God was passing before Moses, "and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.'" Probably not a new verse to any of us, but thinking about God's patience and long-suffering towards creation. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God could have ended his creation right there. He said, "If you eat of the fruit, death will come." And death did come, but death did not come just like that. God continued to be long-suffering, to be patient with his creation. Numbers 14:18 says this, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." So God is long-suffering, but yet his long-suffering, in a sense, is limited. It's conditional. While God continues to be merciful and long-suffering, judgment will come on sin. Sin left unconfessed will be judged. His long-suffering doesn't just overlook the sin. God gives us time to repent in many cases, but God's long-suffering does have a limit. Psalm 86:15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." So thinking about God's character as being one who is long-suffering. And I hope as you reflect over your life, you can see God's patience in your life, where you can thank God for his long-suffering in your life. I remember a time when I was in my teenage years and I was not living how I knew God wanted me to live. And I feared death. I feared death greatly. And I remember going south on 501, and I had a Jeep that I was driving, and some of my friends were with me. I don't know why this is so vivid in my mind, but I remember going around a turn, and I was going at a faster rate of speed than what I should be. And there was a semi-truck coming the other way. And I just remember thinking, you know, at the rate I was going, it all worked out. But sometimes in the paper you read of teenagers or people of any age that were killed in a tragic accident. Their life was taken just like that. And I think back to that time, that's in my memory of going around that turn. I see God's long-suffering, God's patience with me. I wasn't living a very godly life at the time. I was driving at a faster rate of speed. Why did God choose to spare my life? And I hope each one of us can see God's long-suffering in our life personally as we reflect over our life, God's patience towards us. I am so grateful to God for his long-suffering. 1 Peter 3:20 says, "Which sometime you were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." So we remember in Genesis, it was quite a few years after creation, but how God is watching mankind and observing how almost everyone had turned their back on him. Thinking about God's limited long-suffering, like God does judge sin. So God talked to Noah, told Noah to build a boat. But throughout those over 100 years when Noah was building the boat, God was long-suffering towards man. And I believe what talks about Noah and Peter talking or preaching to the people as he was building the ark, I believe there would have been opportunity. God was long-suffering with the people. There could have been opportunity for, I believe, more people to join Noah in the boat if they would have repented and put their faith in God. So God is very long-suffering, but there is a time where God does judge sin. Another verse in Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So God doesn't want anyone to perish. God's will is that all people are saved, that all come to repentance. God is a very patient God. We can look at accounts throughout the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, where God was very long-suffering. We could look at the pattern the Israelites were so often on, where they would fall into sin and God would bring them back to repentance. And they would walk with God for a time and fall back into their own old sinful ways. But God was very long-suffering, very patient with them many times. Jonah. God was very patient towards Jonah. Jonah's an interesting man where, you know, at first Jonah tried to run from God. We know he got swallowed by the whale. God was merciful to Jonah. 3 days later, Jonah is spit up on the shore out of the whale's belly. Jonah has a change of heart. Well, Jonah had a change of heart, I believe, in the belly's whale, or in the belly of the whale. The whale's belly. He repents and he preaches, and the people repent and turn back to God. And then Jonah gets angry at God for what happened. He's like, "I knew you were a gracious God and full of mercy." I don't fully understand why Jonah felt exactly like that, why he wasn't happy about them repenting. But God was very long-suffering towards Jonah. I realize we could look at accounts in Scripture too where we don't see quite the extent of God's long-suffering. We can read accounts in the Old Testament where God brought immediate judgment to disobedient people. In the New Testament, there's a few verses in there that I don't fully understand. Ananias and Sapphira is one of them, where God brought almost immediate judgment when they did not speak the truth. So I'm not here to say I don't fully understand some of those things, but I believe God is very patient and very long-suffering. And I believe there was space for Ananias and Sapphira to repent, but they continued to, well, live in dishonesty. And God did bring fairly strict judgment pretty quickly. And going back to that time when I was driving in the Jeep faster than I should have in the oncoming semi, I don't know why some people's lives are taken just like that in a tragic accident when they weren't ready to go, and others are spared. I don't fully understand that. But God is a long-suffering God. But we cannot just use it as a crutch to lean on. Well, God is loving. God is, you know, forbearing. God will give me time. Well, no, we're not guaranteed another day. So we should not live in a careless way just because God is long-suffering or God is patient. I believe that's a very dangerous place to live if we're just going to use that to live as we please. So moving to the second point, patience with others. How can we pursue patience? So I talked about God's character. God is long-suffering. God is patient. So we can use that to help us know how to pursue patience. And there's different verses in Scripture where we are called to be patient. So patience with others. Thinking again about the flesh, if we live in the flesh, we're going to be short-tempered or short-fused rather than long-fused, and we're going to struggle to be patient. So we need to, again, walk in the Spirit. We need to be abiding in the vine, as John 15 talks about, attached to the vine, Jesus Christ. If we're not attached to Him, we can't be truly long-tempered. We can work at it. We can do quite a bit ourselves. But without God working in us, without being attached to the vine, we're not going to be long-tempered as God wants us to be. Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul says this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So Paul here is encouraging, this is in Ephesians, not Galatians, where the text is from, but he's encouraging us to be long-suffering, to be forbearing with one another, with lowliness and meekness. And I believe someone who is a very proud person is going to struggle harder to be long-suffering or to be patient. A proud person is more self-focused. And when things get in the way, what they want to get done, they can snap pretty quickly. So we need to work at thinking more about others. Have a lowly mind or a living in meekness, forbearing one another. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient and kind. This is in the ESV. King James would say charity. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. So thinking about love is patient. So the first fruit of the Spirit is to put on love, to be loving. Well, if we're truly loving, patience will come out of that. If we think or not think too highly of ourselves. So I just wrote a few things down that a patient person will be. Now I say this, a patient person will be. I don't always measure up to some of these things I'm going to say. But I believe a patient person will be quick to hear. So James 1 talks about quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. A patient person is quick to hear. He cares about how others are feeling, what others are processing, and a patient person will be slow to speak. It's so easy to get these two reversed. Quick to speak and slow to hear. It's a struggle I think we all deal with in our own lives at times, especially when things aren't going like we want them to go, and things, maybe other things are getting in the way. A patient person will speak carefully. They'll use their words wisely. And I believe also a patient person will forgive readily. So we know the disciples were asking Jesus, was it Peter that asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive? Like, is 7 times enough? And Jesus says, 70 times 7, 490 times. Or in other words, just keep forgiving. Don't keep a record of how many times you've forgiven these certain people, and now you come up to 490 times, and now you're done. Just keep forgiving. So a short-tempered person or someone that is long-suffering, someone that is patient, at times just needs to forgive the ones that mistreat them. Now, I'm not saying this is you just let people do whatever they want and there's never a time to speak up. I'm talking about just little things that maybe are done, maybe a little offense, or love covers a multitude of sins, or love covers a multitude of offenses. A patient person will need to forgive readily. I also believe the closer relationships we have with those around us, the more opportunities that we'll be given, whether we'll be patient or impatient. Our patience isn't tested typically with people we just have little small dealings with. We meet occasionally. We might not ever really face times where we're, you know, struggling with to be impatient. Maybe sometimes. But I believe the closer we rub shoulders with people, the more likely you have times where you're going to be short-tempered or you have the opportunity to be long-tempered. First, I want to think about family relationships. Those of you who are married, spouses, a good marriage, if you want to have a thriving marriage or a good marriage, it's going to take patience, patience with one another. I'm grateful for the patience my wife shows to me. We all need, so we all like when people are patient with us, right? I don't think any of us would say, well, we'd rather people be, you know, pretty short-fused with us. No, we want them to be long-suffering. We want them to be patient with us. Well, we need to do the same with each other and for spouses. There's many times where you'll be given an opportunity, whether you'll be short-tempered or long-tempered, long-suffering or short-fused. It's our choice. But Paul says, walk in the Spirit and to be long-suffering or to be patient. Siblings, I mentioned this a little bit. I talk with my children sometimes about this, and there are many times children, youth, young adults, all through life, we're going to be given or we're going to face times where it's going to be easier to be short-tempered than it is to be long-tempered. God wants us to be patient with each other, to be long-suffering. So maybe, children, for a little example, if you have one of your favorite toys in your house or a toy that you really like and you see one of your siblings get the toy and are playing with it, you have the choice. Are you going to be short-tempered and say, that's my toy, give it back? Or are you going to give them grace and say, you know what, it's okay if they play with it? And show patience, be forbearing with them. Or maybe, worse yet, if one of your siblings breaks something that you really treasure, are you going to be short-tempered? Are you going to snap at them and try to get revenge? Or are you going to be patient? God wants you to be patient. Another one, parents towards children. And this is something I certainly have many times where I have failed, where I'm not as patient as I should be with my own children. As parents, I think we'd all quickly acknowledge that patience can be tested, maybe daily sometimes. We need to be patient with our children. It doesn't mean that we can't correct. It doesn't mean that we don't discipline, but we give them grace where grace is needed. I don't have a whole lot of practical applications on that as far as specifics, but you can maybe create your own list. Now, children to parents. So I talked about siblings. I want to talk a little bit about children to parents. You know, sometimes you need to be patient with your parents. And for parents here, have you ever told your children, well, just be patient. When's lunch going to be ready? When's supper going to be ready? Well, just be patient. We've probably said that multiple times. So children, try to be patient when your parents want you to be patient. And maybe if you go home this afternoon and you just want to eat lunch and you ask your mom, Mom, when's lunch going to be ready? Maybe instead of asking when lunch is going to be ready, maybe you can ask, Mom, is there anything I can do to help get lunch ready? I think your mother or your parents would appreciate that. So God wants us to be patient. What about church relationships? Sometimes we're tested on a church level where we need to exercise patience with one another. I was thinking about this a little bit. So in a church body, you have many different gifts. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses, each one of us. Sometimes as our gifts, I believe, can really help each other or help one another get tasks done. And it's beautiful that we have different, that God gives us different gifts. But sometimes those gifts can maybe frustrate us. Maybe we see someone that's doing something that maybe we're really gifted in, and maybe we see it like, this should be done this way. And maybe it can frustrate us. And sometimes we just need to be patient one with another. I'm not talking about overlooking sin or things like that, but I'm talking about just small things that there's times where we need to exercise patience one with another. What about workplace relationships? Sometimes this can get challenging as well. And some of you work with more people than others. Sometimes it can be difficult to be patient. Maybe you're training someone in a certain area. It takes patience at times. We come from different backgrounds, somewhat different cultures too, depending on where your workplace is. Sometimes you need to show patience. So again, thinking about how can we pursue patience? We do this by walking in the Spirit. I realize I'm not watching the clock well enough. I'm going to move to the third point. I wanted to spend more time on this than what I'm going to be able to, but thinking about patience with God. This is what really hit me as I was preparing for this message. As we think about being patient with God, so God is long-suffering towards us. Sometimes it's hard for us to be patient towards God or with God in God's timing, because we often want things now. At least I do many times. We live in an era where it's easy to get things done now. We can, with a few clicks on our screen, we can order things and have it delivered maybe next day or within 2 days if you have Amazon Prime, things like that. We can go to a drive-thru and get our food almost now, instant. God doesn't always work on our timetable as we would like. We need patience with God. I'd like to give two examples from Scripture. One who displayed patience and one who, I believe, lacked patience. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 37. I'd like to read a few verses here. This is a psalm written by David. When I first looked into this psalm, I had to wonder, was David writing this psalm? I was assuming more towards the end of his life by what he was writing. But if you read the psalm, it tells you approximately when David wrote this psalm. In Psalm 37, verse 25, it says this, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So I can picture this, David towards the end of his life, writing this beautiful psalm about being patient with God, waiting patiently on God's timing. And this was his testimony when he says in verse 25, "I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So I'm going to now go back towards the beginning of this psalm. I'll just start reading here, 37 verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commute thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." I appreciated what David wrote here in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So now I want us to think back even earlier in David's life. So when David was a youth, I don't know exactly how old David was when he experienced God's calling on his life to be king. David was anointed as king, but yet wasn't put into reign, or he wasn't put on the throne at that time of his anointing. As the years went by, so we can look back at David's life and we know what all took place and how God was working out the details. Joseph is another example we could look at in all this. See, God is working things throughout our lives, just like Spencer shared this morning. God is at work, and he's at work in each one of our lives as we walk in the Spirit. David, year after year went by after he was anointed, and yet Saul was still the king. Finally, well, I could go into a lot of details, but so David is running for his life because of King Saul. King Saul was jealous of David and wanted to kill David. One day, David and his men went into a cave where Saul was, and here they find Saul sleeping, I believe. And David has his men with him, and they're saying, "David, you're the one who's anointed to be king. This day, I'm paraphrasing, but now God is finally allowing you to be king. Here's Saul. Saul's the one wanting to kill you.
take the sword and end Saul's life, and you'll be on the throne. Can't you see God at work here?" And the one time David took his knife and he cut off some of Saul's robe. After he cut off his robe, David felt very, very sorry for doing that. He's like, "How can I touch the Lord's anointed?" But the other men with him are saying, "David, he's right here." I'm paraphrasing. "Take his life and you'll be king." David could have thought, you know, this is it. God let him right into my hand. You know, God worked through war many times in the Old Testament like that. But there was something in David that knew it was not right for him to take it into his own hands. I believe sometimes when we go through life, as we're patiently waiting on God, we might wish life was different. We might think, you know, things aren't falling into place. And I believe there's times where we're tempted to take matters in our own hands. And I believe the only way David didn't do that, there was a connection that David had with God, and David realized, even though David was a man of war and a man after God's own heart, he realized he should not touch the Lord's anointed. And he spared Saul's life. I think it was twice that he spared Saul's life. So David waited patiently. Now, David was not a perfect man, we know that. But here's an example of being in tune with God and waiting on God. And now Psalm 37, I think, is a very beautiful psalm. As thinking of in that context, for years, was it 15 or 17 years that David, till David was anointed, till he was put on the throne as king? That was a long time of waiting. So that's one example of someone being patient with God very quickly. Well, I'm going to read one more, or a little bit more here from Psalm 37. Thinking about patience and waiting. Verse 34 says this, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." Then verse 37, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." Think about that. The end of that man is peace. One who waits patiently for God, the end of his life is a life of peace. Now, I'm going to contrast the example here. I'm going to think about King Saul for a little bit. So we know that King Saul, I would say, started out pretty good, a God-fearing man. But he became very proud. He became jealous of David to the point, like I said, he wanted to take his life. And there was a time in Saul's life where he was, in a sense, waiting on God. I'm not going to go much into detail for the sake of time. Basically, he was waiting for Samuel to return to offer up an offering to God. Samuel wasn't returning, and Saul decided to take matters into his own hands. And Saul offered up the sacrifices to God that was strictly for Samuel to do. And then Samuel came to Saul and confronted him. And 1 Samuel 13, I'll just read a few verses here. It says, "Therefore said I, the Philistine," this is Saul speaking, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord." Listen to this. "I forced myself therefore, and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever, or over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be the commander over his people, because you have not kept the commandment of the Lord, or because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Thinking about being patient, patience with God. Contrast that with David waiting patiently, although he could have took Saul's life right there. And now Saul taking matters into his own hands and losing the throne over his decision. So two men, two responses when tested whether or not they would be patient or long-suffering. And two very stark outcomes. What's really tragic. Before I get to the tragic part. So basically, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit at the end of David's life, or towards the end of his life in Psalm 37. David said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently." And his testimony was that God has provided. The end of that man is peace.
So if you want to live a peace-filled life, a joyful life, we need to be patient and wait on God's timing. Now contrast that with how Saul's life ended. Again, I'm going to paraphrase. Saul says, I forced myself. I didn't wait. I forced it. I offered the offering. Maybe he could probably justify what he did. You know, this should be done. But he knew it was not in his place to do it. He did it anyway. And that, some of the last words of Saul, and I'm going to read. I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me, and answereth me no more. Some of the saddest words in the Bible. Neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I should do. Some of the most tragic things about Saul's life is the way it ended. So we have David recognizing God as provided when he waited patiently on God. Saul came to the end of his life saying, God doesn't listen to me anymore. I have no connection with God. And then the way Saul's life ended was really sad. He was going to be killed in battle, but Saul was maybe prideful enough that he didn't want anyone else to kill him. So he asked some of his own men to take his own life, to kill him. And they wouldn't do it, so Saul killed himself. What a tragic, tragic end of a man who tried to force things on him, force things himself rather than waiting on God. So, long-suffering is about allowing God to handle our enemies and difficult situations. So we're thinking about, well, I want us to think about our life. We might all be sitting here thinking about some things in our life that we wish were a little different. I believe it takes a connection with God to know when we should pursue different things, pursue some things that we really desire, but also have enough of a connection to know when we're stepping outside of God's will. And sometimes we can obviously, we pray to God and ask God to give us wisdom. We can read in His Word what God's will is for our lives. But we can also speak to other people. I believe if Saul would have got the counsel of other people, I believe his life could have ended differently. I believe if Saul would have waited patiently on the Lord, his life would have ended differently. And I would encourage us, no matter where we're at, just if we're going through a difficult thing right now where maybe it seems like God isn't there, to go before Him. God wants to hear from us. We can tell Him exactly how we're feeling. We can tell Him the desires of our heart, but we can also rest in Him as well and wait on Him and His timing. So, in conclusion, I believe every one of us this week will have opportunities, whether we will be short-tempered or long-tempered, whether we'll be patient or impatient, maybe some little areas in life where we'll be tested, maybe some bigger areas. I don't know exactly what this week will hold for each one of us. Well, none of us do. So long-suffering isn't just about enduring. It's about reflecting Christ's character in the process. So think about, you know, patiently enduring. But as we're doing that, we're reflecting Christ's character as we pursue patience. So we looked at patience of God. God is very long-suffering. God wants us to be patient or long-suffering with others. And God also sometimes operates on a different timetable than we do and asks us to be, or wants us to be patient with Him, allowing Him to work out the details. So, are you patiently trusting in God's timing and His plans for your life? And are you bearing the fruit of patience? This has been a challenge for myself, and I want to both challenge and encourage us to pursue patience as we go throughout our life. See, our story, and I said this before in other messages, our story isn't over yet. We can look at Job. I wanted to go to Job and look at some of his life. That's an excellent example. The Bible talks about him in Peter, about Job and his patience. See, we can see the end and see how God worked. Our story isn't finished yet. We can't see exactly the last piece of the puzzle being put in. But I believe we can be patient and we can allow God to work. Even if we never maybe feel like we see that last piece of the puzzle put in, I believe when our life is over, it'll be a beautiful puzzle, if you will, that's put together. That's kind of probably not a very good example to give. But God can do beautiful things when we can wait on Him and pursue patience. So God bless you as you pursue patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, for your long-suffering towards us. Thank you so much that your desire is that no one would perish and that you give people a chance to repent. I pray if there's anyone here this morning that has not ever made that choice to repent and to put their faith in you, I pray that your Spirit would draw them to yourself. And I pray that we could be patient people, patient with one another, patient with our children, our spouses, that we could display that character of patience, and that we could be forbearing and loving with each other. I pray if you've spoken individually to any specific areas that we would take heed and that we would abide in you and that we could be long-tempered with one another. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.